grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, mighty and immortal, you are beyond our knowing. Yet we see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Transform us into the likeness of your Son, who renewed our humanity so that we may share in his divinity. Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from Exodus. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining, and Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 99 responsibly. The Lord is King, let the people tremble. The Lord is enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth shake.
The Lord is great in Zion.
Let them confess God's name, which is great and awesome. God is the Holy One. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord, and fall down before God's footstool. God is the Holy One. You spoke to them out of the pillar of cloud. They kept your testimonies and the decree that you gave them.
O Lord our God, you answered them indeed. You are God who created them.
Proclaim the greatness of the Lord and worship upon God's holy hill, for the Lord our God is the Holy One. Reading from 2 Corinthians. Since then we have such a hope, we act with great boldness. Not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened, indeed to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Luke. About 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking with him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they came down from the mountain, a great crowd met them. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. The Gospel of the Lord. The Transfiguration story is dramatically set on the top of a mountain peak, lit with bright, blinding lights. Where I grew up in South Dakota is a few hundred miles from the holy hills called Pahasapa, or in English, the Black Hills. Those hills were considered holy by the Native American peoples who lived there long before Christianity was brought to this place by European immigrants. One peak in particular, Bear Butte, is the holiest spot in Pahasapa. Still today, Lakota people go to that mountain, to that holy hill, for vision quests. Or they climb that hill to simply sit and pray. It's called a listening place or a memory place. This is the place where you listen to your Maker. The ancient people of Israel and Palestine, also a land of mountains with deserts and light, those people had that same sense of geography and place. There are many memory sites or listening places in the Holy Land. The Hebrew people, like the Native Americans, understood mountains especially to be those holy places. The sacred story of their people was enshrined on the mountaintops where high heaven intersects with the flat earth below. In our first reading from the book of Exodus, we hear that Moses entered the very presence of God on the top of Mount Sinai, and there he received the holy tablets, those stone tablets with the Ten Commandments, the covenant. And when he came down from the mountain after that encounter with God, he had to cover his face because his face shone with such brightness that the people were afraid to look at Moses. Centuries after that event, Jesus took three of his closest disciples up to the top of Mount Tabor. Mount Tabor is very much the same kind of mountain as Pahasapa, the Black Hills. It's not so much a mountain as an outcropping, a mound. Mount Tabor isn't the highest mountain in the Holy Land, but it is the holiest spot. And Jesus takes his disciples there, and they have this experience. This is a place where their sacred history of their faith comes to life. Jesus showed them on that mountaintop how to listen to their Maker, how to draw strength from the shared memory of God's presence in their lives. Peter and James and John had a glimpse of the face of God on that mountain. In the pure, clear light of the mountain's peak, on that holy hill, on that memory site, their eyes were opened. The veil was removed. And they saw that sacred light, the bright light that shone from Jesus' face and from his clothes, that light that poured out from within Jesus, and its shining rays illuminated the hearts and minds and souls of the disciples who were with him. High on that mountaintop in the Holy Land, on the peak of Mount Tabor, the light that transfigured Jesus was strong and bright enough to open the eyes of those disciples, and they saw that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. They heard the voice of God, their Maker, and that voice commanded them to listen to Jesus, the chosen Messiah of God. The bright light and the commanding voice of God did not produce faith in those disciples. It produced fear and wonder. But I think my favorite part of this story, the gospel story that we just heard, is not the bright light or the presence of Moses and Elijah on that mountaintop talking to Jesus. Not even the voice of God. But I think my favorite part of this story is the humility of Jesus, the tenderness and the compassion. After that great theophany on the top of that mountain, Jesus is moved with compassion, and he heals that young boy who was caught in the grip of evil. And I stand with that number who were all astounded at the greatness of God. How much do we all need this healing, life-giving, transforming touch from Jesus? In addition to our own need for this divine touch, we are called to offer it to the world. This is the amazing truth of gospel. We not only seek to be bright, shiny, and glorious, healed, whole, and transformed as the people of God, but we are called to be the people who offer that to the world. It's us. The baptized people of God who offer a healing and life-giving touch to the scared and worried, to the anxious and hurting people with whom we come in contact every day. Like Jesus, tenderly reassuring the disciples. Like Jesus, reaching out in compassion to those who are caught in the grip of evil. Today, it's you and I who reassure and comfort. It's you and I who heal and even cast out evil. God's healing touch and bright light shines in and through us. In baptism, we are given that light and that healing gift. The oil and the candle that are used in the sacrament represent the healing and the light of Christ. Baby Joshua and all the baptized children of God, that's us. We do shine with the light of Christ. We too glisten with the holy oil of the Spirit. We have been marked
with the cross of Christ, sealed forever with the Holy Spirit. Through grief and fear, doubt and cynicism, violence and war, suffering and death, our way is illuminated by the holy light of God's presence and love in our lives, in our world. We see it first on the mountaintop of baptism and Eucharist, and we carry it down into the flatlands of our daily lives and even into the valley of the shadow of death. There it is that the light of Christ shines in each of us. There it is that the light that casts out fear and shatters the darkness is for us, through us. There it is that the light that is present even in the darkest and most fearsome times in our lives. We do come down from the mountaintop to a demon-possessed reality of daily life. We do have dark times, pains to endure, crises to face, crosses to bear. As we move this week into Lent, our crosses and the cross of Christ will take on more attention. We do have crosses to carry, but we do not carry them by our own strength. We do have crises to face, but we do not face them simply with our own power. We do walk in darkness, but we do not walk blindly. We are the chosen ones. We are the precious children of God, and in faith, we see God's glory and His strength become our strength. We walk in the light of Christ, and His light illumines our way. We are, right now, in a holy place, in a listening place, in a memory site. This font, this table, this word of God that we hear proclaimed, speak to us of the presence of God in our lives, if we but listen. Let yourself know the compassion of Jesus and be astounded at the greatness of God.